Hey, Dungeoneers, welcome back to Your Daily Dungeon and Your Daily Nerd. We're so excited to present to you Curse of Strahd, and we've got episode 2 today, Barovia, the village of Barovia. So, you were running down Zvalik Road, adventurers, and you find that a voice has gently caressed your shoulder, and it whispered in your ear. What do you do?
I stop running.
Okay, you
can't stop. Aren't you riding on Watt's shoulders?
I was, but I hopped off in the last.
No, he got down when you two started investigating.
Yeah.
So you come to a grinding halt. You're slamming themselves to a sort of rest in the mud. What do you do? Do you turn to look?
I turn to look. I'm like, what?
So you spin to look, and you see Davros, Mel go running past you, and you see kind of creeping out of the woods looks to be like roughly 5 dire wolves.
Okay, I start running again. I start running again.
Do the rest of us see the dire wolves?
Yes.
I just turn back. I'm just like, DJ, what are you doing? Come on!
I thought I heard something.
Yeah, you did. You heard those fucking direwolves behind us. Come on.
I just grab his hand and start running.
You're like a parent running through Disney with their child.
Yes.
Jason.
So, you go bolting down the streets as the wolves eye you guys and slowly back away into the woods. As you go cresting over the hill, you come into a large clearing. This clearing is, let's see here. It's pretty big. It's, let's see, that's 100, 200, 300, 400. It's about 600 feet across, with a small village parked on the northwestern end of it. The road separates the village from the rest of this clearing. To the south of that road, roughly 300, 400 feet away, you see a pretty big river bisecting the bottom half of the large clearing. And you see, let's see here, that this river is clear as a blue winter sky through the valley. The river is about 50 feet wide, and it looks to be pretty deep. It looks like it has okay, a bridge
so we have to cross
the bridge. Points it. No, you don't have to cross the bridge. The city actually is directly in front of you on the road, and it's split in half by the road.
Okay, so we made it to the city.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go running up, and you're approaching the city. You see tall shapes loom out of the dense fog that surround everything. Muddy ground underfoot gives way to slick, wet cobblestones after a while. The tall shapes become recognizable as village dwellings. And the windows of each house stir out from pools of blackness. No sound cuts the silence except for one mournful sobbing that echoes through the streets from a distance. The trees seem to reverberate with this as the wind lightly blows them, but with no sound rustling from the leaves themselves.
Where's the sobbing coming from?
It's echoing from inside the city. You're not quite sure on how to pinpoint the noise.
Can we tell if it's a child or like a grown person?
Sounds like a grown woman crying.
That sounds like a witch from Left 4 Dead.
So at this point, now that we're out of the fog, I would probably stop running. Mm-hmm. And kind of just like look around, like, you know, so like none of this looks at all familiar.
It looks like the woods are like a drained palette of green and grays with an overcast sky, barely any sunlight creeping through to indicate that it's daytime. And you see from the distance, the village looks to be relatively normal, but as the clouds, well, not really clouds, but the fog that hangs higher up in the air burns off, you see a monumental castle looming over this village in the distance, like a lance piercing the sky.
So I'm guessing that's where the man that's going to be paying us is?
Let's hope so.
Guys, hold on. This is like before we get into the city.
Yeah, let's see. So I said that the clearing was 600 feet across. That was incorrect. It's a few miles across. I don't know where I got feet from. I just misread it. The clearing is really big.
You were close.
Yeah, 600 feet, 5,000 feet. You know, what's the difference?
It's whatever.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato. I kind of just stopped the group. I'm just like, all right, look, I don't know what exactly is going on here, but something's not right about that.
What did you find over there with Davros?
So I pull out the letter that I found on the guy's corpse, and I just open it up and I hand it to the group so like they can all like look at it.
I say this is the same thing we got yesterday.
Look at the date.
So did the last group fail and we're the backup?
Whoever who was bringing it fail to get it to us?
Look at the date, and I pull out the letter that we got, dated a week prior.
What do you think happened? Asking Mel.
I don't know. It looked like a commoner had it. He was ripped to shreds by what I'm guessing to be dire wolves now.
Was he human?
Yeah.
Where did he look like he was from? Would we know? Would Eric know?
I don't know. Did he have any like distinctive clothing on him that looked unnormal?
He looked to be like a commoner of sorts to you, dressed in just a regular tunic with a wool fur coat pulled over the top of him that was ripped to shreds and caked in blood. And he had a face that did not look anything like anything you've seen before as far as ethnicities go.
Definitely not from the areas we are.
Perhaps this man is Barovian?
Perhaps. I mean,
it seems like the most logical decision to you, Mel.
Yeah. I mean, where even is Barovia? I know that looks like we're in it. I just don't know how exactly we got here.
Dijo asks, Dijo tells everyone about the voice that he heard.
You all have heard it.
Like,
yeah, I heard it too.
I
heard it as well.
You guys heard it too?
Yeah, I'm used to one other voice in my head. I didn't like having another one in there.
Excuse me?
I'm used to having one voice in my head.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
No other questions to follow up.
We do know about Zarbdok now, right? Like, the party would know about Zarbdok already, right?
Let's say sure.
Okay.
Maybe we just know that he's there.
Yeah. We're not sure if he's crazy and just making it up, but we know it's a thing.
And we know he just goes, oh, he's doing the thing again.
There's the great fiend.
Yep.
Ian, I take the letter back, and I start really scrutinizing over the wording of it, and like seeing if the wording is like identical, or if the words are like if it's worded any differently.
So you scrutinize it, and this time you notice that the letters of the original message are slightly different as you read it once more, and it says to thee, "Hail to thee of might and valor. I, a lowly servant of Barovia, send honor to thee. We plead for thy to desperately need assistance. The love of my life, Irina Kolyana, has been afflicted by an evil so deadly that even the good people of our village cannot protect her. She languishes from her wound, and I would have her saved from this menace. There's much wealth in this community. I offer all that might be had to thee and thy fellows, if thou shalt but answer my desperate plea. Come quickly, for her time is at hand. All that I have shall be thine. Signed, Koylan Indyadovich.
Who is the other one signed by?
Koylan.
Koylan? The handwriting's different,
so,
right?
The handwriting is...
So, it's different handwriting. It's not his daughter. It's his wife?
So it just seems that way. It just says wife. Beloved.
Beloved. So I'm assuming,
the love of my life.
I'm assuming wife or love. It's wife, probably.
I mean, the city's right there. I say we just go ask Quaylen.
The second
which
letter
is real?
The second letter that you received is the tattered one that's kind of got blood on it, and it looks to be penned a little more hastily.
Is this the one that was given to us?
The one that was given to you, we're gonna call version one.
Okay,
is penned very neatly and it's very clean. It was presented to you in a letter. And it had a different seal on it.
And didn't it say? So it sounded like it was coming from a noble, right? The first version one. And this one, it's very clear that it was a commoner.
So the one that you received, it looks like some fuckery's happened with the original letter you received. It's 100% different now. It's as if it was magically changed to match the original letter.
I do not like that.
I don't like that at all.
Me either. But, like, we either keep going, go into the city of Barovia, or we go back to the city we were just at and fight wolves on the way there.
Ian, I take 10 minutes and cast Detect Magic. I cast it as a ritual.
Sure. So as you're casting the spell, for quite some time, you realize that your spell, which normally is just a standard utility-like spell, almost whispers to you in your ears constantly. The voice is echoing off of each eardrum, pinging between your head the entire time you cast the ritual. It's not right. Something's wrong. Why? Who is this? How could he do this? Why? No. Go. Run. Be gone. These words echo off your ears for 10 minutes straight.
Okay. I imagine that it's like me like casting the spell, and I just keep hearing this, and I'm just like. I don't know. I they probably have seen me cast this spell like 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
I just look like almost like strained to do it now.
Do you okay, Mel?
I don't respond. I just finished the spell.
So the spell ends, and you see that the magic of the letter, while faded, is present, and it looks to be some kind of illusion spell. It looks like the letter that you have now, the bloodied and tattered one, is not magical in any way, shape, or form. It's just a standard letter. Well, this first letter, it looks like it had two different messages in it for you to read both. One is the genuine message now, which is an obvious falsity, and was one strictly to just intrigue you into coming.
That's interesting.
All right, then.
I think we need to find this
Quaylen
person.
I agree.
I agree.
Seems like we don't have much of an option.
I mean, it's find Quaylen in this city or fight some wolves.
Yeah, I'm not too fond of the latter.
How do you spell Quaylen's name?
Coilin, spelled C-O-L-Y-A-N. Okay. You could pronounce it Coilin if you'd like to. I'm saying Coilin.
Okay.
Coilin doesn't particularly make a difference. Coilin Indirovich, I-N-D-I-R-O-V-I-C-H.
Okay.
Let's go to this town.
Yeah.
We need to get some answers here.
So, as you guys approach, you see that these buildings, which kind of look, you know, abandoned but otherwise normal, begin to kind of fade in their appearance. The brown that was once brightly painted now looks to be aged and weathered as the wood is splintered and riddled with claw marks. As you approach the entrance to the city from the western side, you see an escarpment of various buildings that look to be damaged and in tatters and ruins. Things look very astray as you enter into the general area. And you find that there's almost an air of uncertainty in the area around you.
So we're actually in the city now?
Yes. So as you walk into the city, you see to your right what looks to be like a couple of empty houses, but there is one in particular about 20, 40, 60 feet from the main road at the first T, the road of the city, that has a couple of children sitting on the streets. They look at you. Their eyes, they appear to be somewhat dismayed as they glance at you.
Like, what do you mean, like, dismayed? Like, as in,
One has dark hair, and her head rests at a slight degree tilt. Her eyes sullen and saddened, while what looks to be like a younger one with a almost macabre-like doll with two buttons for eyes, one significantly larger than the other, on this oblong-shaped head doll, rests in her hands, one leg shorter than the other, and the arm missing off its left side. This younger one has a hood over her head. Skin that appears to be almost grayed from the dirt and dust that has gathered on her.
I'm going to walk up to him and ask him if they're okay.
So, as you approach, you see that there is a bit of hush-hush whispers amongst the two of them. And you see that, let's see, the young boy that's clutching a stuffed doll is crying, and the older girl is trying to calm him. After shushing the boy, the girl says, "There's a monster inside our house." She points to a tall brick row house that has seen much better days. Its windows are dark, and it has a gated portico on the ground floor, and the rusty gate is slightly ajar. The houses on either side are abandoned. The windows and doors boarded up, and they sag with age and neglect.
I'm gonna, like, motion for everyone to come with me and then start walking towards the house.
Did we go toward the children as well, or, like, did we hear what they said?
You do hear them. Watt, but Watt, it looks like he's just marching straight up to this house.
I just go up. I put my hand on Watt's shoulder. I'm just like, hold up. We don't know what's going on here. I don't know if we should be necessarily interfering just yet.
There are crying kids on the street.
Did you ask the? Were you saying something, Adam?
Yeah, I'm gonna go tell Mel, like, there are crying kids on the street. We don't want to at least see if we can help.
We're in a strange land. We don't even know how we got here. We just got basically tricked into coming here. I don't know what we can trust and what we can't. So Yeah. I say we just leave it alone.
Dijo partially agrees with Nell. He says we should at least ask them for more information before we just march in there. We don't even know what we're dealing with.
You okay, that's fair, but I still plan on helping them.
You guys see as you looks like the clouds have kind of started to form and become more black and tumultuous, and you see that the mist actually begins to close in around the gaps of the houses around you, as if it's circling in on this one house.
On the house that we were looking at?
Mm-hmm. This brick house.
Dijo turns to the children and asks, what kind of monster is in your house? What happened?
They shake their head and say, I don't know, says the oldest one. We hear terrible howls. Our parents keep it trapped in the basement.
It's in the basement now?
And they nod their head and they say, yes, and our third sibling, Walter, is up on the third floor.
Where are your parents?
They both look at each other, and they look kind of a little sullen, and they don't have an answer for you.
Can I?
Did you look
down? What's going to be like, all right, I'm at least getting the stranded kid out of the house, and I'm going to the house.
I want to do an insight check on the kids.
Go ahead and roll.
Nat 20.
Something is very wrong with. You get a very, very irking sense from them.
Hey, what? Let's hold off a second. I'm gonna have to tend to side with Mel on this. I don't like the feeling of anything that's going on here.
The mists are now entering into the streets they approach you.
Not only do I not like the feel of what's going on, have you kind of tend to notice like. All of this is just feeling so very weird. None of this feels natural, man.
Is there anybody
I'm just
else
gonna sigh
at
and,
all
like...
around at all? Like, is there anybody? Is there any sign of any other life?
No, you see absolutely nothing except for the mist, which very slowly begins to move in and in and in.
Is it? It's like closing in on us.
Yes.
Okay. Is there something really off about this mist that's coming toward us?
What I know that you have your religion and your duties and your obligations, but something's not right here, and we probably need to get out of here. We're not going to find any answers in a dead town.
The young boy, who looks to be still sobbing, drops his doll. And it slides in the mud a little ways down towards him, towards the edge of the mist. And he runs to go grab it, and the sister grabs him by the hand and says, stay away from that.
I run up to the boy, and I'm just up to the girl. I'm like, why? Why do you need to stay out of the mist?
All right. I have the spell Fog Cloud. Could I try to use that to control the mist and get rid of it?
You attempt to move. You attempt to use Fog Cloud on the mist?
Or would that work? Like, would Fog Cloud allow me to, like, try to clear it out?
Do you try to cast it?
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, so you cast Fog Cloud, and you attempt to control the mists. You guys see the mist begin to curl away as he casts the spell, and a momentary respite reveals the doll, and you see the young boy cry out. He says, My Stitchy! Rose, my Stitchy! And she says, leave it, Thorn.
I'm just, by this little girl. I'm just like, why do you need to stay out of the mist?
She looks up and says, none who tried to leave Berluria through the mist return.
Dijo asks, where is everyone?
She looks at you and she says, I don't know. I've not left my house in ages, it feels. It's not safe on the streets at night, and hardly a day. Your momentary respite and relief want is suddenly plagued by despair as you see the clouds more furiously spin and tumultuously begin to aggress on the house.
So it's going toward that house?
Mm-hmm. So our choices are go into the house or get swallowed by this mist?
Yeah.
It seems like. All right, so what are we more afraid of, the house or the mist? And I'm just going to start slowly walking towards the house, like, kind of signaling everyone we should do the same.
Yeah, I'm totally more afraid of the mist. I'm
like, I cannot control this mist. Let's fucking go. This ain't right. We can fight a monster. We can't fight the weather.
So the doll, we can see the doll now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she told him to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go over to the doll and pick it up.
All right. So you walk over and you go to touch the doll and your hand passes straight through it.
All right. Immediately back the fuck off. I'm just like,
how close is the mist to us?
Eric is standing on the precipice of the mist. Mel, you kind of like reach down. As you squat and touch the doll, you stand up, and the mist actually momentarily encompasses you as you jump out of it. You feel like your lungs are momentarily collapsed as like the wind is knocked out of you as you step away from the mist.
Okay, house it is. Let's go.
Yeah. And when we get into the house, I'm going to immediately go to the third floor to try to find the kid.
Whoa. Okay.
All right. I kind of feel like you'd probably step in the house and assess your situation before just charging through it. I mean, it is a house.
Okay, yeah.
If he does that, yeah. I'm going to stop him.
Yeah. All right, so you turn and start to walk past as the children kind of stand there on the portcullis of the front entrance. They're not actually standing on the porch of the house. Basically, they're standing out on a dirt patch in front of this house. The house is like a white brick.
Okay.
It looks like it's three stories high with it. It's got like six windows in a row making up the second and third story, and you see two windows on the first floor that stand adjacent to the front door, which has like a wrought iron gate on it.
Dijo kind of looks around for the basement. Like, not really like walking around, but he just kind of looks around the room, tries to find like the basement, the stairs.
Oh, you actually step inside the house?
Well, has everyone else stepped inside yet? I assumed that we had already gone in.
Let's go ahead.
I'm going in the house.
So you approach the entrance, and the entrance is a wrought iron gate with hinges on one side and a lock on the other. And it fills the archway of a stone portico. The gate is unlocked as you approach it, and its rusty hinges shriek as you open it. What? You see an oil lamp hangs from the portico ceiling by chains, flanking a set of oaken doors that open into a grand foyer as you reach for the handle. Hanging on the south wall of the foyer is a shield emblazoned with a coat of arms, stylized into a golden windmill on a red field. It's flanked by framed portraits of stony-faced aristocrats.
Can I do a history check to see what, if I might know what this comes from or whatever?
History check on what, the coat of arms?
Yeah.
Sure. While you're rolling that, as you looking at the rest of the room, you see mahogany double doors leading from the foyer to the main hall are set with panes of stained glass.
I make sure not to touch anything.
I rolled a 14, Ian.
So you see the two children come padding up behind you, and they stand at the portcullis, not wanting to look like to go any farther in. And you don't really know too much about Barovia or its inhabitants, so it's kind of hard for you to get an idea of what this may be or what this house may have been, but you kind of get the idea that this house is probably maybe at one point actually an aristocratic mansion of sorts. That's rather nice. It looks like this place is a stark contrast to what you've seen outside, as it's beautifully kept and nicely done.
Okay.
Are we still outside with the children?
Yeah, the children aren't entering in. They're standing at just the edge of them looking at you guys.
Okay, I want to... Okay, never mind.
So we're in the house.
I ask them if they can show me where their brother is.
Are they coming into the house with us?
No, it looks like they're they're not willingly entering into the house. It looks like they're standing on the portcullis, like they're standing beside the iron grate that is before the front door.
I'm gonna ask them why they don't want to come in.
The young boy says, "My Stitchy," and the young girl says, "We cannot go. The monster's just too frightening. Its screams terrify us."
How do we know these kids are real?
Mel, do you have anything to add to that?
Light bulb? Okay. I don't think they're real.
The reason I asked is you did touch the kid's doll and your hand passed straight through it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh. No, like, that just clicked in my head. Oh, shit.
What? Eric touched the kids.
Oh, wait, no. Rephrase that.
That's all.
Wait, no.
I'm... Mel, before we go in...
Yeah,
I want to try something. Follow my lead.
Yeah. By the way, you can tell that I'm like thoroughly freaked the fuck out right now.
So Amnon and Mel are gonna go walk over to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take a knee down to get like on eye level with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna say to them, "Look, we really want to help you and your brother and your family, but we feel like there's something that you're not telling us. We really need you to tell us everything that you possibly can, so that way we can help you and your family." And then I'm going to try to put my hand on the little boy's shoulder.
The sister jerks him away from you. Touch him.
Ian?
Mm-hmm.
I try to snatch at the girl's hand.
Roll an attack roll.
Oh, shit. Alright. Let's see.
Alright. You reach out and you go to touch her hand, and your hand passes straight through her.
I fucking knew it!
Yeah.
Does everyone see this?
Yeah, everyone sees his hand pass straight through.
TJ gets out of the house.
Who's in the house right now?
Amnon. He's closest to the double door.
You mean TJ?
Do what?
TJ like goes to bolt out of the house and the door slams in front of him. The girl's hand the girl's hand is instantly severed by the door shutting, and you see it plop on the ground with a heavy thud before it disappears, like made of mist.
Ho! Ho! Not good.
So me and DJ are stuck inside the house?
Everyone's inside the house.
Wait.
Oh, we all went in? Okay, cool.
What, you motherfucker?
Would you rather try to fight the mist? I tried fighting the mist. It didn't work.
All I was wanting you to do was just wait one goddamn second while we tried to figure this out first.
The house groans as if some sort of excitement has beset it. As things settle inside the house, you hear the sounds of doors creaking, footsteps above you thudding on the floor, and the sounds of chandeliers in the house.
God.
All right, we need to find a way out of here.
All right.
I go over to a window and I try to
open it up. There are no windows in this room.
I'm going to try to just strength bust down the door.
All right, go ahead and roll the hit.
Attack roll or?
Yeah, roll a hit, attack roll. Okay.
16.
All right, so you strike the door with your weapon or your hand?
I was going to try to kick it down or kick it open.
So you see Watch strike the door with his foot. The door bends like a jello, encasing his foot for a second as the house groans. And you see the floor beneath Watt's feet suck him into the ground up to his waist before spitting him back. And he bounces off the hanging Oreo lantern in this entryway. And he hits the floor with a heavy oomph. You take 1 point of damage.
Jesus. Okay.
Has anyone ever
all right, heard of
a living house?
So, looks like we got two things to fight. Another ghost kid in the third floor and a monster in the basement.
Mel, you're the resident arcanist. Go ahead and give me let's see.
Arcana?
Yeah, give me an arcana check at advantage.
All right. So, first roll, 23. Yeah, 23.
You definitely get the sense that this house is very much so aware of its surroundings, almost as if it's alive. For it to be able to just suck in someone's hand and foot like that and then launch them back out aggressively. This house is aware that you inhabit it.
Ian, is there a lock on the door?
No.
Okay. Good.
And in fact, you look at the front door and you see the handle on it begin to morph and shape into the actual wooden door itself, becoming just another part of the door itself.
Alright, guys. The house is alive.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what.
So, basement or third floor? Which way are we going?
What do the footsteps sound like at this point?
The footsteps echo above you, as if they're traced away on the floor above you, going up above you. You hear the sounds of an infant crying. It's suddenly silenced.
All right, well,
first rule...
Let's see if we can find a way out.
First rule is, don't split the party. We're all going together no matter where we're going.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. I agree.
Agreed.
I'd say let's check out the first floor first and see if we can find an exit.
Even
or a way to get out of here.
Even if there's a kid up there, I'm pretty sure he just met his end. So I'd rather not meet whatever is up there at the moment.
I agree.
Well, also, we don't know if that kid was real or a ghost like his siblings.
Exactly. So
I don't know what's real, man.
Game over.
Thank you.
Put my hand on your shoulders and start to slap you. Calm down.
Ian.
Yes.
Can I try to grab part of the house with my greatsword?
Yeah, you're going to swing up. You're going to swing at the wall or something?
I think what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to drive it through the door that we came in through.
Okay.
And see if that does anything.
All right, roll ahead.
I'm scared.
Six. I think we're all scared.
All right, it's official. I'm spooked.
I spooked my pants.
What'd you roll, Dylan?
Ooh.
Daily Dylan.
Did
you roll that D20 plus 4?
Oh, I rolled that 6.
A 6 total? Is that what he said? A 6 total, guys?
I believe so.
A 6 total.
6 total. Oh, so you go to the door, and a candelabra sitting on a like an entrance table leans out and snags your greatsword, twists it out of your hands, and strikes you in the chin with the butt before dropping it on the ground.
I cannot be disarmed because I have weapon bond with my greatsword.
Mm. So it does strike you in the butt with the handle, but you retain the weapon. Neat. So basically, it catches the blade and wrenches it down quickly, and it just like slams you in the jaw with it. It strikes the bottom of your plate helmet, not injuring you.
Okay.
All right. Damage to the house doesn't seem attainable, at least down here or on this floor.
A vital spot. If it lives, then we can kill it.
Or we might be able to go up several floors and bust out a window and jump out.
And then die.
What? Have you climbed up?
Not
I have not yet. All right. So you go to stand up?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do know that there's still those two doors, the only way out of this room now.
All right, well, good adventures always go left, right?
There's no left. There's just the doors directly.
Oh. I just turned to DJ, and I'm just like, 100th time I'm going to tell you this. Nobody says
that. I say that. Okay. Anyway. Let's just go somewhere. All right,
I'm pulling out my silver sword and shield and just going to walk towards one of the doors.
Okay.
And hope everyone else follows me.
Yeah.
Because we're wasting our time down here.
So, you twist the handle of this levered door, and it swings open into a wide hall that runs the width of the house, with a black marble fireplace at one end and a sweeping marble staircase at the other. The fireplace is to your left, the staircase to your right. Mounted on the wall above the fireplace is a longsword with a windmill cameo worked into the hilt. A cameo being like a an ornate type carving made typically of stone or glass or something like that. That is basically just a 2D image. The ward panel walls are ornately sculpted with images of vines, nymphs, and satyrs. Let's see. Those of you that have a higher than 12 passive perception, please let me know.
Yeah.
Me.
Higher than 12.
It is 12.
That's fine. 12 works.
What?
Minus 13.
Sorry, what is passive perception is what?
It is what your perception is when you're not actively rolling for it. So it would be, I think, 8 plus your perception skill if you're proficient with it, plus your wisdom modifier.
No, it's 10.
Is it just – it is 10. You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay, I think it's just 10 plus wisdom.
No, plus your proficiency if you're proficient in the perception skill.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're not proficient with it, it's just your wisdom.
Gotcha.
If you are proficient, it's 2 plus whatever your wisdom.
Nope, not me.
Okay. So if you if you have a 12 or higher, you kind of inspect these walls closer, and you inconspicuously see serpents, skulls, woven into the wall design. The decorative paneling follows the staircase as it circles upward to the second floor on the right side. Let's see here.
You said there's a fireplace, Ian?
There is a fireplace, yes, with a above it. And you see what looks to be like some sort of small room directly across from where you entered in.
Fireplace.
There's no furniture.
Okay. Is the fireplace lit?
The fireplace is unlit. In fact, this house is dark. You do see an oil lantern resting on a table directly beside you at the entrance.
I'm gonna say we should probably not touch anything. It's alive, remember?
I don't pick it up. Instead, I just cast light on Watt's sword.
Okay. Watt, your sword glows the appropriate distance, bathing the room in light.
Oh, okay. I just hold it up like a torch.
So you do see that there is that small room I mentioned, as well as the stairwell.
Yeah. I want to actually go over to the fireplace and see how long, if maybe I can see how long it's been since that fireplace has been lit.
I'm going to go over there and join Eric. Or join Mel.
So you walk over to the fireplace, and as you approach it, the fire bursts into life suddenly.
I don't like that.
Okay. Eric, do you study the fire at all?
I kind of jump back for a second and then kind of like kneel down and inspect the fireplace.
After a moment of inspecting the fireplace, you see what looks to be like the gaping maw of a being suddenly roar out of the fireplace and come to life in front of you. After a moment of formation, you see what looks to be like a noble man's countenance looking upon you, burst the life in the flames itself, and he looks upon you and he says, "Welcome to my home."
And who am I speaking to?
He grins and he says, "I did send you a letter."
I'm going to ask, are those your kids out there? Or were those your kids?
He chuckles and he says, "All are my children in the land of Morovia."
Who?
All right.
And what was your name again?
Bay. I like it.
He grins and says, "Perhaps I have been unclear, but perhaps it is also for a good reason. Might I introduce myself? My name is Strahd von Zerovich. And I am your gracious host."
You're the one who sent us the letters?
Indeed, I am.
Why?
I thought it was Koyan.
Yes, indeed. A clever ruse to attract adventurers who have caught my eye. My reasons will become clear eventually, but I've come to discuss the history of this fine building with you, to give you a clue, perhaps, to find your way out. Oh, if you can. Perhaps you'd accept my aid?
He said yes. You said that he, is this Strahd physically there?
Or is no, it like his, it's just his face. He's pulling a... He's pulling a prisoner.
Serious black.
Yeah, he's pulling a serious black.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I get what you're saying. All right. So we just like see his face in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, you can't get an idea of his skin color, but you get an idea of his facial features. You see two what looks to be like small fangs poking out of the side of his mouth. You see a long yet noble face. And his eyes glow an intense red in dots in the fire. And he's got long hair that goes down to his shoulders, combed back into a single part, kind of similar to Swank's hair.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway, he looks at you and he says, "Ah, an elf. It's been so long since I've seen anything other than the ones that reside in Peruvia. Tell me, are your people still proud?"
Well, see, to accurately answer that question would imply that my people and I...
He grins, he says, "You're..." He kind of settles back into his position. He says, anyway, advice on the house. Would you like it? Or would you like to continue to stumble around?
Advise away.
He grins and he says, 'Tis no ordinary house, as you've already been able to surmise, but the history of it is far greater than you could ever believe. I see that you've already examined that there are some off things about the... He kind of looks around, he says, the eaves. He motions towards the decorative paneling that you noticed before. He says, what do you see etched upon these walls?
You know, Strahd, I'm not really one for games here. So if you could just get to the point.
He grins and he says, it's always pleasant when you meet somebody who's all business and no fun. I like that about you. What is your name?
Name's Mel.
No surname, Mel. Do you not claim a family?
I don't have a family.
I too am in such a situation. The house is very aware of you. It is a four-story building, including the attic, and a surprise beneath. You will find that its contents will not let you leave until you have cleared it all. It will not be satisfied with your performance until it is sure that you can handle what resides within the basement. The rooms on the first and second floor, very quaint. I hope you enjoy them. Everything else will be not so pleasant. As for the children you met, never you worry. They died of starvation centuries ago. They're not quite as alive as you'd like them to be, I'm sure. I'm sorry that you could not save them. Perhaps you'll have a better fate than them.
Why are we here?
All in due time, little gnome. You will know. Best of luck. He chuckles as the fire wisps away and the fire dims out, smoldering out of existence.
I don't like the idea of being a part of his little game.
Yeah, I was about to
say...
Well,
would you rather fight...
I was about to say, if it's not apparent, I don't trust that guy.
I don't think any of...
Also, if it's not apparent, we aren't in control.
Yeah.
I feel like it's either go along with this game or starve to death.
Well, that's right. I guess... Let's explore the rest of the house.
We'll I say we go upstairs first, because it sounds like whatever's in the basement is a lot scarier.
Yeah. We can play along for now.
Should we finish exploring the first floor first?
Yeah, let's finish exploring the first floor, and then we'll go upstairs.
All right. Okay. So, I think we're actually out of time for episode 2.
Very nuts.
I know. It's starting to get really intense, but I want to save the actual house for episode 3 because it'll be a doozy. You guys have met Strahd. You've met him. You'll definitely be around.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure.
Until then, we have this house to entertain you and our lovely listeners. Again, we thank you guys for participating and listening in on our show. We hope you enjoy Curse of Strahd, as the rest of us have so far. And we look forward to bringing you more content. Catch us again next week on Your Daily Dungeon, proudly presented by Your Daily Nerd.